There is a shop in Boston that's making it a whole lot easier to shop sustainably. Uvita is the first zero-waste store in the city. We caught up with the owner, Maria Vasco, who carefully curates the collection of products in her store.
I know we don't really mean to impact the planet in a negative way. It's just a lot of the structure that we have in our society. So it shows that there are a lot of changes to make, and it's exciting to think about all these changes that could be implemented. So in my freshman year, I was learning about different environmental issues, and then I learned about the plastic pollution problem. I knew that was a way that I personally was impacting the environment. I knew that I used a lot of plastic every single day. I was throwing away a lot of trash. I had to more look within and see, like, how am I as an individual impacting the environment, and then what can I do about that? So that's how I stumbled into the zero waste movement. So we're advocating for a circular economy where everything that is produced will have an infinite life cycle and can be reused and remade into something else. So I started online in September of 2019, and that was after I got awarded a scholarship from my university. And I proposed the idea that Boston should have a store that is 100% plastic free and all about zero waste products, so people can shop guilt free, can shop products that are better for them and for the environment because the products are more natural, but the packaging is more mindful. I love a lot of the products, and I just have some that completely blow my mind sometimes. I really love our dish soap. It feels amazing to know that I have avoided so many plastic dish soap bottles. And also mine's just like cuts grease really well. The White Claw candles, we basically have a candle maker and he has incredible scents that are made out of soy wax. So they're not toxic for you to breathe in. We were like, let's just use materials that we already have and that everyone throws away, and it's like the magic of upcycling and making something fun and giving it a second chance at life. And another section of the store that I absolutely love is our plastic-free makeup section. The amount of plastic waste that is in the makeup industry is incredible, and so I was very happy to find some zero waste plastic-free makeup brands. It was very important for me to be, you know, very accessible and affordable to all. We all know that plastic is much more accessible and convenient for everyone because it's just everywhere. So I really try to curate good, high energy, good quality products that people will end up loving and will make their transition to zero waste products so much easier. So my name is Maria Vasco. I am the founder of UV The Shop, and we are Boston's first and only zero waste store. That means we are a 100% plastic free storefront, and we offer all your basic home essential products without any plastic waste.
Hello, Maria. How are you doing?
I'm great. So happy to be here.
So people always ask me how I find them. And someone on my LinkedIn world literally posted something about you. And I was like, I go, oh, who is she? And the good thing is, the great thing is I used to be a TV and radio producer, so I can track down anyone. And I started my career where there was no internet when I started my career. It was like fax machine and phone. So when I tell you I can find you, I can find you. And it was just like so fun where like, I go, oh, this is really interesting. So we're going to talk about the business, but let's talk about you first, because I mean, you are a young entrepreneur. You are a business owner. And so where are you from? Where's your family from? Like, let's hear the history of who you are first, about school, and then we'll go into the business.
Yes. So I'm currently 23 and I was born in Cali, Colombia. My parents brought me to Boston when I was 3 years old. So I've been in Boston for the past 20 years and I've been very local. I went to UMass Boston. I had a degree in environmental studies and sustainability. So when people ask me, how did you come up with your business idea? I just tell them like the major that I picked definitely gave me the business idea. And currently I live in East Boston.
Love Columbia. So every year I still pick a random place to go, during the pandemic, I still pick random places to go, even in New England, just driving. Cause I love discovering new locations, but I love just seeing how a country is like, things that just like really make the country come to life. And I went to Cartagena, loved it. And it was one of those places, do you still hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So we froze it just a little bit, but no big deal. Okay. So, oh, wait, do you want me to go into?
Yeah, I'm going to join on my phone because it sometimes makes the internet connection better.
Okay. So we're going to, this is like the fun. The world is seeing the technical background here. All right. So I just accepted your.
Yeah. Usually this helps.
All right. So do you want me to hop on your phone or what would you like me to do?
No, we can just keep it like this.
Do you hear the echo or no echo? Oh, we're good. Look at that. I love technology. All right. So I was saying how I like going to new places, and I decided to go to Cartagena. Loved it. So of course, whenever everyone thinks, like I arrived there, I'm taking pictures, and everyone's like, where are you? I'm like, I'm in Columbia. I go, Columbia, like the University of New York. I'm like, no, the country. And everyone's like, oh my God, is it safe? And I'm like, you know what? It's so unfortunate that people just assume things because they don't know. And so I just loved and embraced the individuals that were just really just so welcoming in so many different ways. So how often do you go back to Colombia?
I go back to Colombia a year besides the years of the pandemic. So yeah, I love Colombia. I visit usually in the holiday season, so for Christmas. But ever since 2020, I haven't been back.
I think it's an untapped country only because of its reputation in the United States. And yeah. I was there, and I had a friend that was doing she was doing service there. She was working for the Peace Corps. And then I had another friend randomly said, like on social media, he goes, I'm in Colombia. Does anyone have any advice? I go, I'm in Colombia and I can't even get a meeting with you in Boston and you're in Colombia. This is amazing. So we just hung out and it was really, really good. So it was just like a serendipity moment. And then also one of my cousins was there at the same time. So it was just crazy random that I had four people in my life that were there at the same exact time, where it is a place where people travel often. Do you have people in your life that are entrepreneurs? Because you went this route, you went to school, you were focused on sustainability. Your country is, I mean, your traditional, your original country is very, very focused on sustainability. Why would you go into starting your own business, being a young entrepreneur? Is it something that's already in your DNA?
Yes. So both of my parents are entrepreneurs. Both of them are full-time entrepreneurs. I was actually raised in their storefront. So both of them have storefronts in the city of Boston that they've had for over 20 years now. But in college, I didn't take one business course. I didn't take any business courses. I wasn't a business major. And so people are just like, how do you have two storefronts at 23? And I tell them like, well, I tell some people, I don't tell everyone, but I'm like, I think subconsciously, me growing up in my parents' storefronts and watching them work my entire life, somehow, like subconsciously, had me manifest like having two storefronts at a young age. I just graduated college last year. So, you know, people are shocked, but I think it's just my upbringing. And, you know, watching my parents be full-time entrepreneurs is different because they really had to make their businesses work. And they've provided for my sisters and I all these years. So it's been a success for them as well.
What is the storefront that they own?
So my mom has a money order store, which is very specific. And then my dad is actually right next to her and he has a laundromat.
Oh my God, that's like so amazing. All right, so I always tell people, like I go, if you ever have, and I tell a lot of younger people, if you have a set, like, I mean, like, if you can get your hands on some money, two things that you want to do, laundromat and a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
They're win-win-win. And the laundromat has to be in the location. Always college fronts or like, you know, like lower income areas. I mean, those are like the sweet spots. I go yeah. in the parking lot. All you have to do is pave it once a year. So that's another win-win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my dad is like usually like not working. And so he comes in and like random times he helps me. I have him ship out orders and I just like put him to work because he's like, I don't have anything else to do. And I'm like, must be nice.
So why did you choose sustainability as your major? Then lead us into why did you decide to start your own business? So yes, you have it in your DNA. It's like, I go, but I mean, sustainability is the hot topic. It's the mm-hmm. hottest topic. I mean, obviously you're seeing the climate change right now. You're seeing the discussions that are happening. So you could have gone anywhere. I mean, you are literally a commodity where every single business out there could have just like swept you away. Why did you choose to even think about starting your own business when you know that you are literally the unicorn out there?
Yeah. So I originally was a political science major at UMass Boston in 2016. And I thought I was going to be a lawyer because that's what my parents actually really pushed me to. They're like, you should be an immigration lawyer because you know what it's like to be an immigrant. And so the way for you to pass it on is to become someone who represents them. And I was following, you know, what they were telling me. And I was like, okay, so I signed up to be a poli sci major. And then I was just looking at my audit and I saw that I had some science requirements. And I was like, let me get these done in the first years compared to my senior years. Mm-hmm. So then I saw the intro to environmental science course and I read the description. And it basically said that like, this class is about talking about how we humans impact the planet and then how the planet will impact us back. Mm-hmm. And I was just like shocked. I was like, what is this about? And I feel like everyone has their first time exposure to climate change and like hearing about what's going on. A lot of people have had that in high school and I didn't have that in high school. Mm-hmm. My experience and exposure was in college due to just looking at my audit and looking at the classes that were available. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for the class. And within 2 weeks, I was just shocked. My mind blew. And I was just like, I can't believe that I've never, ever heard of like climate change. I can't believe I didn't know that this is how we're impacting our environment. And then that this is what scientists are predicting is going to happen in these upcoming years. So as I was looking at other classes, I was like, I can't find anything more important than this, because let's say I do want to become an immigration lawyer, like immigrants are always going to be impacted by climate change first. Mm-hmm. Low-income neighborhoods are going to get impacted. They don't have the funding. They don't have the protection. And so every career that I could imagine myself in, whether it was a doctor or a lawyer, I always went back to like all of that will be impacted by climate change. And it will always just lead me back to that. So I was like, you know what? Let me just dedicate myself to this field as if I can make some action. And if everyone can make some action, it would positively impact everyone.
You know what? It's funny that you even mentioned this. So I'm first generation born from Haiti. And my dad would always talk about this. I mean, like throughout my entire life, he always talked about this. And then when The World is Flat, the book, The World is Flat, that came out with Friedman. I forgot Friedman's first name, but the book was called The World is Flat. And I got my dad the book, so excited. My dad's like, I've talked about this. My dad's like, I go, we internationals think about this all the time, especially when you're from the Caribbean islands. We mm-hmm. think about this all the time because you're on an island. I mean, it will really impact the islands. Why was it not a discussion in your house? Because you think about, your dad owns a laundromat. It is mm-hmm. part of that whole entire concept of, I mean, the water and like waste of water or use of water, et cetera. Why do you think, why do you think it wasn't a discussion? And now that it is a discussion in your life, how do you actually impact people, not just with your store, but outside of that? Because I mean, when I saw you, I mean, I feel like you are, I mean, you're 23 years old, but you are like literally the leading the force of being an advocate in your area. So why do you think it was not a discussion? I go, and now you're leading the force outside of your business, you're leading the force. How are you being received?
Yeah. So I think that because of my parents, like they just were focused more on survival purposes. So they like, you know, immigrated to this country. They didn't know English. And so it wasn't a priority to them at all about learning or hearing about climate change. And then I never even heard about it in high school or middle school. So I just felt like the exposure for me wasn't there, which is very important because nowadays high school students and middle school students are now learning more about climate change and hearing about it at a younger age, which is very important. But I think that's why it just wasn't a topic of concern. And as an immigrant, it's more about survival and making sure that you can find your place and take care of your family. So that happened. And then now when I am in East Boston, I'm at my mom's store. I actually started selling my products at my mom's, you know, convenience store. And I would just be standing next to my one shelf, and her loyal customers that also don't speak English are just walking in, and they're like, oh, what is this product? And what is this? And I would start explaining to them like, oh, this is a bamboo straw. You know how like plastic is bad for our environment. Mm-hmm. And I just saw like this woman's eyes like glow up, because she's like, oh my gosh, like I've heard about climate change, but I don't have anyone to talk about this with. My children don't talk about this with me. And also everything that I read about climate change is in English. So to have someone be able to explain what is going on in Spanish for me. And obviously I was just explaining to her everything that I was learning in college. So I was just like transferring all that knowledge and information to her in the language that she can understand. So that's when I realized how much of an impact I was having, because these, you know, Latinos who don't speak English, they're like, they're kind of disconnected from the rest of society, but they still have the same concerns as everyone else, whether that's paying rent, bringing your kids to school. And when they hear about climate change, they're just like, this is not for me. This is for those people who have time to actually dedicate themselves to composting and eating healthier and all these other things that can be seen as privileges. So when I realized that I can build that gap between, you know, language barriers and access to education barriers, that's when I was like, okay, I'm actually making an impact, because this woman now feels way more comfortable about entering the store and seeing my products because someone explained it to her in the language that she is comfortable with.
You are one person. The Latino community is huge. The Haitian community is huge. Japanese and the Asian, I hate, because there's like so many different sections, but the Asian community is huge. I mean, all these communities are so large. You're one person. How do you actually start joining the conversation? How do you actually get people that do not speak a language in? Because you're right, a lot of young people are in the leading forces right now in regards to sustainability. They're like, I go, you are destroying our future. Not even our earth, but you're destroying our future to enjoy this earth, to enjoy this planet. I just spoke to a gentleman yesterday where, and I'm telling you, I'm going to start bringing you guys together in a different way, because he's in Iceland, and I go, and they're focusing on sustainability. He's like, I'm in Iceland. I go, and when I was younger, there was so much more snow. There was so much more ice. I go, and it is melting. I mean, I'm watching it from the time that I was like within a 20-year gap. I've seen how my country has changed dramatically being in Iceland. And so how are you are you partnering with other people? I go, to engage with the international community, because there's so many people that, you just said it, a woman that I don't know how to talk to my kids about it, or my kids don't talk to me about it, but I'm now worried about it and I want to do something. So how do you engage with that generation that comes to this country, wants to sit there and grow, wants to make sure that their kids are getting the best opportunities, but yet wants to still contribute, but they don't know how?
Yeah. So I basically just do my best in terms of like spreading myself out. So like yesterday I was at UMass Boston, giving a panel talk about how to get into waste reduction fields and how that's a growing field that everyone should get in for students who are still trying to figure out what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then on Tuesday night, I was at Northeastern talking to a women's business club called WISE, and I was telling them how to start a zero waste business, and whether that's zero waste shoes, clothes, fashion, some kind of food that will come in biodegradable or compostable packaging, or start a composting business. Like I was just one, I'm trying to push people to make businesses more focused on sustainability instead of just like complete profits. Like let's mix those together. And then on the other hand, like I try to be in the community. I was part of the East Boston Farmers Market this whole summer. And so that's where I got to talk to a lot of East Boston locals who depend on these farmers markets to get their food. And I'm there to be like, hey, just so you know, like we're here for this plastic free movement. I know that you might not know about it because we are the first in Boston to do this. So no worries. This is what we do. this is where we're located. These are the recycling systems we have. We have a secondhand clothing shelf. We do commission. Like, we have all these systems in place to try and be sustainable. And if you are interested, you can support us. You can find us here and here. So I do focus more on like the community aspect, but then on the other side of like, I love talking about business with people who are like either on a startup team or a corporate team. And I'm like, implement sustainability in some sense, because if not, your company will fall behind. And I feel like that puts enough pressure on them to be like, ooh, like, you know, my job would love me if I start mentioning that they can, you know, recycle this and save money in this way and market themselves as better leaders. I feel like that's just one strategy that I'm really focusing on in order to like apply positive pressure on other professionals to really consider becoming environmentalists and advocating for it.
What do you mean? So I'm going to ask, well, if this is a two-parter. Whenever someone thinks about sustainability, they think, I'm going to go vegan. I'm going to sit there and not eat meat. I'm like, I'm just going to sit there and cut off everything. When you are from another country, it's not an option. It's not an option. It's like, it's being smart. So my mother used to get paid once a month, and she would go to Haymarket, which is our outdoor, for anyone that's listening in Boston, it's our outdoor, it's like a massive outdoor farmer's market. And it's been around for centuries. And so we would go to Haymarket and get all the fruits and vegetables. We would go to the butcher and she'd order the pig, the cow, et cetera. And the butcher would cut it all up, and all parts of the animal was used, because in Haiti, they use all parts.
Yeah.
Whenever people are thinking about sustainability, they automatically think, oh, if you eat meat, you're bad. So what is sustainability for you? What can you just like give your definition? Because people are just there's so many different ways that people go about it, and people are being shamed about like whether you eat a hamburger or not. So what is it for you in regards of how you bring it into discussion? Because sometimes when people hear it, they're like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be involved in it. Or some people come into it and they're like, yep, I've given up this. I'm like, that's not helpful as well. So can you give like a thought for anyone that's like, I want to engage, but I don't know where to start, and I don't want to give up things in my life?
Yeah, totally. So I also don't like the shaming aspect of this, you know, field. So I would say like zero waste is a small and a slow process, because you don't want to just go home and throw everything away that's plastic and throw all the meat in your fridge. Like, that is not sustainable as well. It's to reconsider what you buy, what you consume, who you are funding, and take it slowly, because that's exactly what I did. When I was in college, I like started throwing away a bunch of products, and then I was like, oh my God, I threw away my deodorant. I threw away this, like, what the heck? And I was like a college student that was very much on a tight budget. So it made me struggle, and it made me have like kind of a negative experience where I'm like, damn, I just realized everything is plastic and I just threw it all away. Now I don't have anything, and now I have to buy everything new, and I don't have the money to buy these other expensive products. So it's very much a slow process. And what I tell people, the best way to get into it is look at what you like. So if you like to cook, maybe start in trying plastic-free kitchen products, because you know that you like to cook. You're always throwing away certain trash in the kitchen. Or if you love to do your hair and your makeup, why don't you just try some natural plastic-free makeup products and see if you like them, because you know that's something you're always going to finish and you're always going to buy more because that's something that you like. If the meat example, if you know, have health issues and you're like, I remember that one week that I didn't eat meat, like I felt healthier, like let me try that again, but take it slow, because one, your body's not going to react if you just go cold turkey either. So like everything has to be done slowly, and it takes years, and zero waste will never be perfect. It's actually low waste that we're all aiming for, because we don't live in a society where zero waste is possible yet. And we have a long way to even get there. So I like the name zero waste because you're trying to make a strong statement. But the reality is we are aiming towards low waste, because that's what our society allows for the time being.
I love that you just answered your question before I said it, because I was like, well, right behind your head, it says zero waste. But I do love that you said, you explained it right before I said it. So let's walk through, like, what is your company? What does it do? And who are your best clients?
Yes. So our company is, we are a plastic-free store. We offer a bunch of zero waste goodies. And I say home essential products because we have, you know, natural deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrushes, shampoo, conditioner, body lotion, facial cleanser, all these products and things that everyone puts on their body before they leave the house in the morning or at nighttime. And we have like toilet paper, we have dish soap, like home essential products is what we focus on because these are things that people are always going to buy. Fronts. Our first storefront is in the North End and our second storefront is in East Boston. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're just expanding right now. We're really trying to make Boston more of a zero waste community since mm-hmm. we are the only zero waste store in the city. So we do that by, you know, advocating and educating people on what is zero waste. We have an upcycled pot section. So you can just like donate your pots or bring in pots that you don't want and like trade it for something else. We have that for clothes as well. We have a refill station. So let's say you buy a bottle of dish soap. Once you finish it, you just come back and refill that same bottle. So that bottle doesn't hit landfill and stays there for thousands of years. Instead, you just keep using the same bottle. And of course, you know, some people have fun with it because they can use like their favorite wine bottle for their olive oil or, you know, their favorite beer for something else. So there's some people that like can make it really fun for themselves. And I am one of those people.
It's funny that you even say that because my friends, I mean, I live in Marblehead and my friends, it's like Marblehead is a town on the coast, North Shore coast of Massachusetts. And my friends come over to my house and they see my butter, my old butter container is now where I put my sponges. And they're like, really, you can't afford a sponge thing? I go, it's not that I can't afford it. I don't need it. I mean, I'm reusing this. I don't need to throw this away where it's perfectly fine. Or my aluminum foil, if it's not that much wear and tear, I just like a dish, I wash it, I like dry it, and then I reuse my aluminum foil because it doesn't need to be thrown away every single time. I mean, you don't have to reuse, you don't have to use it. But this is the way that I grew up, where my grandmother would always like rewash things, reuse things. It was just always a part of what I do. And so why would I have to throw away every single thing? And whenever I have my recycling has hardly anything. My trash has hardly anything because I'm reusing as much as I possibly can. And you're right. I don't buy what I don't need.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel because of our background and cultures that we have learned like how to be sustainable from a very young age. I've had the same thing with my family and my upbringing. My mom is like the queen of upcycling. And so I definitely picked that all up from her. I think now it's just like plastic is so cheap and accessible and it's everywhere. It's mass produced. Everything we touch is basically plastic. So now we're trying to advocate to be like, let's go back to when plastic wasn't everything and it wasn't, you know, killing all the fish in our oceans and it wasn't piling up. Like we had just bamboo, we had reusable, we had, you know, the milk cart guy. Like, let's actually push for this because that's when waste wasn't a problem as much as it is today.
Well, the thing is, like going back to it, it becomes expensive. So the whole entire concept, like, so when I'm in Portugal and I'm seeing your bread being tied to your door, so all the bread's being delivered and the milk. And when I'm in Australia, same thing. Like I go, it's a traditional way. Like, of course, the milkman still exists. We'll call it the bread guy still exists. All these people still exist in other countries. And we are the most waste, one of the most wasteful countries out there. To save tends to be expensive. And so how do we get those price points down that everyone could be part of it versus just a certain group of individuals that have the money that they're like, oh, I do it because it's like, it's part of our community. But it is, you're right, it's not part of all communities because there's a cost associated to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like to remind people like 5 years ago when I got into zero waste, I felt like there was a huge emphasis on just like the metal straw and like, you know, that was like the product of zero waste and the products were more expensive, but with the years that have came by, more people are joining this field, which brings the demand up and the price of goods down. So now our prices are going down because we're adding more competitors to the market. We're adding more alternatives, different packaging. Now you can get something in glass, bamboo, or cardboard, and you just pick whichever one you feel. But before, like 5 years ago, you only had one option and that was it. So I feel like if we keep pushing this demand and we keep pushing people to jump into this field and continue to do research and see how to make things plastic alternatives or just more sustainable in general, the price of goods will go down. And this morning specifically, I was looking at, I don't know if you heard of Pella Case. They make like a compostable foam case. They just launched like another business within their business and it's called Lomi. And it's like the first at home technology improved compost bin, which is like like a compost bin, but it has like the razors in there and it will cut your food down into basically dirt. And so
well,
I was like,
well, all right. So that's something. So I live in an apartment and I go, that's something I've always wanted. Cause I had always compost throughout my, when I was growing up, we had a garden, we compost. I worked at an environmental center. We always compost. It drives me crazy that I go, I don't compost. You have an apartment. I go, and you think about the smell, you think about creating bugs. So, I mean, does that help? I mean, mind you, we're promoting another company right now, but it doesn't help because that's another thing where people want to start adding different things and they're like, I don't have the space for it.
Yeah.
And does it make sense?
Exactly. I was just so happy. I'm like, finally, technology has hit something in the zero waste field, which is compost bins. Like with this, you don't have to worry about the smell. And they made it a very modern, sleek style that's very small, just like a small trash bin. And I'm like, perfect. The space isn't a problem anymore. The bags, the leaking, it's not a problem anymore. And it actually breaks down the food much faster. So you're actually speeding up the compost process because you put the banana in there and you press the button and 5 minutes later, it looks like just dirt. And then you just throw that in your actual garden. So I'm like, finally, technology has hit compost bins and this is going to make it so it can hopefully become an everyday appliance to every single family in the US and in the world. But when I looked at the pricing, it's $500. And I was like, okay,
there's a discussion once again, the cost.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, okay, personally, I can't afford this right now. I will, you know, push for this. I shared it on our social media and I'm like, I know that people who are able to afford this, who are older, of course, they're going to buy it. And then the manufacturers, they're going to figure out their glitches and improve it. And then with other companies seeing them, hopefully they'll be like, we can come up with that and add this change, you know, maybe like add a bag, maybe add a scent or something. Yeah. And that makes more competitors in the field, which eventually will lower the price. So in general, I still see it as a positive because I'm like, even though I'm not going to be one of those people who pre-order it and, you know, it will arrive in 3 months and I pay $500, I'm not going to be one of those people. I'm not there yet, but I'm happy to push for this. And I'm happy that they're selling out because then the next batch should be more affordable. And then the next batch will be improved because of the feedback they get. And then another company will join the market and become their competitor. And then eventually throughout the years and down the line, it should become an everyday appliance that we all have.
Hopefully sooner than later. Who are the people that you're working with? Because you have these products, you're clearly not making them yourself. So who are the people that you're working with? How are you finding them? And what happens if they say they're sustainable? Cause I mean, Whole Foods has this whole entire concept of like, I go, you go through a really tough regiment to get into Whole Foods, Gwyneth Paltrow's company, I forgot the name of it, but I mean, like they go through like really tedious acts to make sure that these companies are saying and doing what they say. So how are you finding your partners and what is the routine that you go through to make sure that they're walking the walk and talking the talk?
Yeah. So in the beginning, I mean, I still do a lot of research every single day, but in the beginning, when I was just starting my own zero waste journey, I started trying out different products from different brands and I started figuring out which products actually worked for me. And then I did background checks. I'm like, who is the founder? What are their values? are the team members? Is this a big company or is this a small business? Mm-hmm. And now our requirements are they have to be a plastic-free business. They have to be a small business. Mm-hmm. And majority of our vendors are woman-owned as a woman-owned business. Mm-hmm. I just tend to support those kind of specific vendors. And we do have a lot of vendors who obviously reach out to us on the daily. They send their products. They let us know what is like the background process and the life cycle of their products, because that's very important. But then we also have those companies who like send us products and it comes in plastic. And I'm just like, you are clearly not a company that is aligned with the values that you claim, because you just send us a product that's in plastic. And that's not the product that we're going to be carrying. Yep. And please don't send it to us again. So it is a long process of figuring out who are the best brands and also who are the innovators, because the innovators need support, specifically in our plastic-free makeups section of the store. There's not a lot of competitors in the plastic-free makeup world. And so we have competitors who have hit the market just so we can support them and test their products and also give them feedback and be like, listen, our customer said this melted, but this packaging was great. The packaging didn't, you know, biodegrade within the time span. So that's good. And then we just give them feedback so they can improve and we can have more accessible zero waste makeup products.
I think that's like, I think that part of it for small business is so important, because that focus group, I mean, focus groups, I mean, the traditional focus group is like, you pay someone $100, a person that may use your product or may not, and then you just may get the right feedback. But to be able to go through you and get feedback with people that are actually using your product every single day is so beneficial to any small business. And it's like, it's a win-win. They're making money off of you because you're selling their products, but you're in turn giving them that feedback for them to grow their business.
Yeah, exactly. So for like specifically our products that go on skin, so skin products, we have a group of product testers and we just give them like a month time span. Because like with me for natural deodorants, I tend to get rashes. Yep. And I get so upset when I get a rash. To our product testers, I also test it out. And if I get a rash or if someone gets a rash, we reconsider the product. Mm-hmm. But things like sponges and kitchen brushes, it's just an easier process because we just have to like verify that it is bamboo and then use the actual kitchen brush and see if it works. And then of course we'll get feedback from our customers, but I am more wary about like products that go on skin. As someone who has very sensitive skin, I'm careful about that.
Where do you believe the industry overall is going to go? Because right now we are in the land of people who are talking about the climate more and more. I mean, like the leaders of the world are meeting not just like once or twice, they're meeting constantly now. So usually it was just once a year, but now they're meeting over and over and over again. Cause I mean, they're seeing how countries are being, countries or neighborhoods, villages are just being dilapidated because of the weather or fires or you name the crisis, it's coming, the climate crisis. So where do you think we're going from now? Because you are in the forefront. You are 23 years old. You are in the forefront of like getting on this new technology, this new wave. The older individuals, there are people that are just, they're stuck in their ways. They're like, not my problem. I won't be alive. So what happens in your opinion? What's going to happen or what should happen?
And now a message from our sponsor. Since 2017, the Foundation for Business Equity has existed to support Black and Latinx-led companies in reaching their full potential by providing access to critical growth tools that include expanded networks, capital, and markets. To learn more about the Foundation for Business Equity, FBE, visit fbequity.org. And now, back to our guest.
Well, I do believe that the demand of, you know, take a climate action and zero waste is growing. So that's a very positive aspect, because as we apply more pressure to these big companies, they are trying to meet the ethical consumer needs, which is us. We're trying to be ethical consumers. We're trying to push for this movement. And big companies like Walmart and Target are now adding things as like shampoo bars. And, you know, shampoo bars were always just a zero waste store thing. Now you can find them at Target, which to me is a win, because that means all the people who shop at Target will now be exposed to shampoo bars and be like, if Target carries this, like, maybe I should try it because it's here and I shop at Target. So that in the zero waste market is becoming, the products are becoming more accessible and more common. And that is the goal. And in general, I'm hoping that there's enough demand for people to start taking more action, but within themselves. So like, you know, start a community garden. I've been seeing like local butcheries stores like starting up again because they're like, meat is so processed and we're seeing the effects and it impacts our environment. Like, let's go back to supporting these local shops. And then I saw someone in the North End who just started a community garden, and she's just like a regular woman, doesn't dedicate herself to sustainability, but she was just like, I want to see a community garden in my community. And I was just like, so happy. I'm like, you don't have to be you don't have to have an MBA in environmental, nothing. You just have to take action and actually put in the work to make it happen. So now the North End has a community garden that we didn't have to start. You know, obviously people would look at to us to start that. And I was like, I'm so happy that some individual believed in themselves enough to make that happen. And then everyone gets to benefit from it. Everyone who gets to have fresh produce from the garden, that their food. So my goal is that people are just more inspired to take individual action, because we clearly cannot just depend on big corporations and our government to do it all. So I really want like the push for ethical consumers to grow so we can put our money where our mouth is. So like, stop supporting these huge corporations who are the number one polluters in the world, such as Coca-Cola, and see all the companies that they own, with that's Tide, Downy, all these big brand businesses that we've seen for years and have never actually taken responsibility for the damage they've done to our climate. So let's not fund them anymore. Let's not buy those products anymore. We can't even pronounce the ingredients that are on the bottles. And there's a reason why people are getting rashes and all these other things, because they haven't considered their packaging and they haven't considered their ingredients. So how about we all individually just stop funding these companies, and they will be forced to either adapt and change their packaging, change their ingredients, or they're going to become a part of the past. And all the new businesses, which is more like zero waste, sustainability focused, we can make space for those companies who are actually just trying to lead this movement. And hopefully in all that turns around to be a bigger change in our society. But I just think it's more everyday individuals that need to take action. And majority of climate change is because of these big corporations. And the way that I see that we can take them down is by not funding them and by not buying, you know, the products that they sell to us.
So I'm going to say I'm a Tide girl. I'm not going to not be a Tide girl, because when your family comes from a country and that product is there, it comes in. So like, it's, I remember when I was younger, my grandmother, like, I go buy some chiclet. And I'm like, oh, chiclet is gum. Until we were going to stores, I'm like, I go, it's a brand, but it was the brand that got to Haiti. And everyone just considers all gum chiclet, or Maggi, which is like the beef stock. I go, everyone, my mom's like, whenever my grandmother asks for beef stock, in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's my ghee. Until you go to the market and see the brand, it's just, we were always, it's the first to, the first to market. And those products hit the country and we're just used to them. I do same thing. I'm old school, where I have the container for the pods, and literally I have the same container and I just get refills. I just refill the container. So I'm not giving a pod. I grew up with it. It was in my parents' country. I don't try anything else. I like having my clean clothes. So there is the not funding something or being smart about how you fund it. So I always challenge people where making sure that not funding something, if you know that you believe in the product, I go, because again, it's word of mouth. I mean, my relatives like literally are horrified that the only soap I use is Iris Spring. And they're like, what? I go, it works. I mean, they're like, well, what do you use in your face? I go, Iris Spring. They're like, well, what do you use in your body? I go, Iris Spring. I mean, it's the product that I grew up with it. So I don't use anything else. It comes in it's like wood. It's like, it's paper box, recycled. I go, and it's just, it's one of those moments where it's like, you know how some people, like, once it gets over here, they throw it away. I'm like, no, I sit there and combine them together and I'll just have a bigger soap. So it's all dependent on the person. There are people that use these products and then they pull on waste, but then there are those individuals that grew up with the products and they're very smart and wise. So I always say, don't sit there and like totally sign off on funding something. Be smart. And if you're going to sit there and be really, really cautious about what you're going to give up and what you're going to keep, whatever you're keeping, be smart about how you're keeping it. So I just wanted to put that out there that I'm not defunding my tithe. I like my tithe a lot.
Yes, it's not for everything. Like, I can't give up everything and I can't like look at everything I have. So that's the other realistic aspect of it. Like I have products, I have tithe, I have products that I haven't finished and I'm not going to throw them away because that is not sustainable. I'm going to finish them. And people actually come into our store, use our bathroom, and they see like Windex and they're like, you sell window cleaner, but why do you have Windex? And I'm like, my mom bought that and I'm going to finish it. She doesn't look at other brands and that's it. She bought it for me and I'm not just going to throw away that liquid and not use it. Yeah. I'm going to finish it and that's it. We're not here to play like the perfect role either. And it's not for you to cancel us or bash us. It's the reality that you are supposed to use what you have. And then from there, try and consider what other options there are.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of because I buy to replace. I don't buy to buy. So when people are like, go buying stuff and I'm like, I go, and there are times where I look at my closet, I'm like, why do I have this? And so I will look, I mean, we have like it's called Magic Hat, and Magic Hat is a place where like people donate. I go, and they literally gave $15,000 to every single elementary school in our town because that's what they raised. And they're like, you giving to us is giving to our community, which is really good. So I go, I will always try to find ways to be lean in my home, donate. I go reuse it and I buy to replace. And then, and every single time I do any of these things, I think of my dad. I think about my mom. I think about my grandmother. I think about our family. It's like, just think about the way that it is because this is the way that we were raised. And once you get past that part where people come to your house and they shame you or they make fun of you, once you get past the, I know who I am, then it's totally fine. And you really can change the world. But I think it's just, people are so apt to like, I don't want this person to say something about me. I wonder what they think about me. And that takes them away from what they believe in.
Yeah, I totally agree on that.
Yeah. So it's so funny how like we talk and like there's so, it goes by so fast. And I'm looking at the time, I'm like, I go, oh my God. Like I go, how did we get here so fast? So I'm going to ask my last question of you. This is never going to be the last question. This is never going to be the last time to talk because literally there are three different people that I've interviewed and about the same topic. And I'm like, I go, oh my God, we're going to have a great discussion when I bring you all together. But my last question for the day is, and it ends this way every single time. If you had a personal ask and a professional ask, what would be your personal ask? And what would be your professional ask of anyone that's listening to you right now?
So for a personal ask, I would say I would love it if everyone can just look at ways that they can take action, because I feel like we need more people just taking action instead of just like a few individuals leading. I can't remember the quote right now, but it's everywhere. It's like we need millions of people trying zero waste and not just a few people being perfectly zero waste, because again, that's not perfect. So my personal ask would be like, consider what everyone, for whoever is listening to this, consider what you can do. And obviously not to put a lot of pressure on you, because this, but there is something that everyone can do, whether you know that's supporting a small business or considering composting or even talking to your parents or your cousin or your friends about climate change and, you know, connecting about
we lost you for a little bit. So wait, you're on mute. Okay, go ahead.
What happened? And then the other one was my professional ask, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So my professional ask would be to definitely check us out. If you're online, you can check out our website. If you are in Boston, you have two stores that you can walk over to. And I would say try the refill room, because that is something that is not that common in our city. And it's not that easy for us to get it up and running. It takes a lot of investment and it takes a lot of education behind like what is refilling and what are we trying to do and how do you scale it and how do you pay for this? And oh, do I come in with my wine bottle, or are people going to judge me for, you know, putting my hand soap in a wine bottle. Like, I would really love to see more people in Boston start using the refill room and making this more of a cultural norm. It's way more common in California, but in New England, it's not as common. So I know zero waste stores that are popping up trying to do this refill system. I know a lot of people get really nervous around it because it's something that's new, and it's new for us too. So it's a learning process and a learning curve for all of us. But if we can have more people refilling, we'll make it more of a norm, and other businesses will also start adding refill stations in their storefronts.
Well, it's funny because we would people refill their water. I mean, so I don't understand how this is even a thought in people's minds, because they go in their cars and they have the big jugs and they fill water. We used to do that when we were little. So I don't know why that's like such a big thing that people are like, oh, refilling my soap is like a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that it's not everywhere. Like, the cultural norm right now is to buy something, and once it's empty, you just buy another bottle of it and another bottle. Like, for a majority of people, we just don't refill, because when you go to Walgreens and CVS or Market Basket or wherever you buy your things, you never refill it. You just throw away the packaging and just buy a new one. So the refill aspect is like, you get to pick your own packaging. You get to pick whatever you like to have in your house, whether that's just a beautiful mason jar that you like, or your favorite bottle. You like the shape of your perfume bottle. You don't have to throw that away. You can always just refill it, and it's more custom to your preferences.
So, of course, I was so involved in the sustainability because literally we were talking about it, and it's so in the right now that I didn't ask a super important question. So see, this is a little bit in reverse here. How was the pandemic for you? Because you own two brick and mortar stores where a lot of people were shutting down their brick and mortar stores. So how was it for you during the pandemic? And what dates did you open the two stores? Because you, in March 2020, were 18 months into this, 19 months into this, and yet you have actual storefronts.
Yeah. So once I graduated from college in May of 2020, last year, I started doing a lot of research on where I wanted to open the store, what community was best for me, and we opened our North End location. We haven't made a year yet. Our year will be next month on December 4th. And then our second location is actually opening this Saturday in East Boston. So we're just opening it now.
Congratulations.
I'm super excited. Thank you. I'm super excited. As you know, I grew up in East Boston. So the moment I realized there is no plant store in East Boston, and of course there's no zero waste store because we are the only one in Boston, I was like, I want to open in my community. That is just like my like dream of being from being a little girl, like, oh, I want to grow up and give back to my community. And so my way of giving back is doing what I know best, zero waste products. And so I've been looking for an East Boston storefront for months now, and there's not a lot of availability. A lot of storefronts are very expensive, and so I had to just like be patient and always be looking. I was always talking to people. I'm just like, and then I also did the market research where I know a lot of people in East Boston, and I'm like, would you support this concept? Do you want the store in your backyard? And so I've got a lot of positive feedback. And so I just, you know, it's also a leap of faith. It's not like anything is promised. It's a leap of faith, but it's a great journey. And in general, we are making a positive impact. So our goal is just that a lot of people will love the store and support it, and, you know, continue to refill their products and buy zero waste and plants all in one store. And of course, there's no store like that in East Boston. So that's also our advantage point, that we're starting from blank. And so a lot of people are excited because they're like, finally, like, this kind of store is in my neighborhood. I can walk to it. And again, with the pandemic, people always ask me, like, why are you focused on storefronts when like one in three businesses closed during the pandemic? And I'm just like, the way I think about it is, if you run out of toilet paper, you are not going to wait 2 to 3 days for it to arrive to your house in the mail. You're going to walk to a store and you're going to buy what the store offers. And so for the zero waste customers like me and my ideal customers, which I am also one, I'm like, I want to buy bamboo toilet paper made out of bamboo trees because it's more sustainable. But of course, majority of stores don't offer this. So that's why I find a zero waste store storefront to be so important. So people still have that advantage point of, you know, choosing their values and what they buy, but also being able to walk to the store and leave with the product instead of waiting a few days for it to arrive in the mail.
I think that what you're doing is absolutely amazing. I mean, like, I'm so proud of you. I'm super proud of you. I mean, mind you, I'm going to have photos. I'm going to add photos. So anyone that's not on YouTube, you're going to see a lot of visuals. Maria's Zoom was going in and out. And so you see her beautiful face, but also you'll see a lot of the shop and things, but I'm super proud of you. I love that at your age and your knowledge, you are really, really making change that most people are just taking for granted. So you, I mean, bravo, bravo to your parents, bravo to your family. Great job. I mean, I love it. And I'm so happy that you said yes, because this is so important. And it is one of those things where I grew up this way. I mean, like it's, and I mean, I'm 52, you're 23, and we think the same because we grew up this way. It's just part of what we do. And we don't understand why there's so much waste, because we have such a, I think it's because we come from beautiful countries. We're in a beautiful country and we're from beautiful countries. And we really appreciate every single moment that we are like amongst other people, amongst, well, just nature and things like that. So I love that. I love it. I love what you're doing. And I am close to East Boston. So I'm very excited to come and visit your store very, very soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this. It really is rewarding to be in this field, because at the end of the day, you're just trying to make a positive difference. You're trying to, you know, make communities cleaner and better for everyone. So it's very rewarding. And I just feel so lucky that I've been able to do it. And I encourage a lot of people to do it. And yeah, I really hope that you're able to visit the store. Let me know when you're going to be there so I can make sure to go and say hi.
What are the hours?
We just announced our East Boston hours. It's going to be Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 6.
Okay. So I love that you said this Wednesday. So Wednesdays, I literally do not, like, Wednesdays are my days off. And people are like, I was like, what? I go Wednesdays are my days off, because weekends really aren't our days off. We're like going for family events and things like that. And Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday are my busiest, craziest days. So Wednesdays are the days that I go and venture and see new things. And so literally next Wednesday might be the day. So from, did you say 8 o'clock?
11 to six.
11 to six. Okay. So you know what? Next Wednesday is going to be it.
Awesome.
All right. Beautiful. And I'll still email you on the back end, so the way like I could just like definitely coordinate coming seeing. But I definitely want to see how the shop runs.
Yes. I would love to show you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Maria. Thank you so very much for taking time out of your day. I'm bummed about the video, but as long as I heard you, that's all that matters. And I go, again, people will be able to see visuals, because I'll add the visuals later.
Yeah, I can send you some content as well.
Okay, beautiful. Have a wonderful day, my friend.
Thank you. I'll see you on Wednesday.
All right, bye.
Bye.